This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's Dr. Daryl Orman with today's message.
Thank you, Ricky. Praise team. Want to encourage everybody, fist bump, say hello, give a greeting. Please be seated. And I'd like to remind you, if you see new families, new people, guests that are here trying us out, I want to encourage y'all to say something to them after the service. If you're going out to lunch with one of your life groups, maybe invite them to come and be a part of that and reach out to them and love them. As you know, most of South Florida is repositioned people. In fact, my dad, when he was alive, he used to say, is there anybody born here? Everybody's from somewhere else. And everybody's looking to connect and to connect with people and to find somebody to love them, look after them. And so I want to encourage y'all to do that, to just reach out. And ask someone, say, maybe let's go to lunch. Go to lunch. We're all meeting, and come meet us there, that type of thing. And let's make some connections. And then on that, I'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, in the cell, there's a little form you can tear out where you can connect with us. If you could fill that out and place it in the offering plate, we would appreciate that. And that enables Kim and I to pop in on you one evening and just eat dinner. Unannounced. So, not really. But maybe, you know. So I want to encourage you with that. And our life groups want to encourage you to take part in finding a life group where they can minister to you. We've had some of our families go through COVID, and life groups have been bringing them meals and looking out for them. And that's how we take care of each other. Next Saturday, we're going to be here in the fellowship hall. Registration, it says here 9:30, but actually 9 o'clock, and we're going to be having an estate planning seminar here. David Sanchez from the Florida Baptist Convention is going to be coming and conducting that for us. They will also be having an opportunity, they'll be giving us information on where you can update your will for free, or if you don't have a will, you should do that. In fact, they say 80% of people in the United States, their will, they either don't have a will or their will is out of date. And this will enable you to be able to do that as well. And it'll just be for you to look at your planning for your estate, for your family. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that in here next Saturday. And then also, there are a few other things. Our Reborn Ministry, College and Career is a new addition to that. And we praise the Lord for that on Wednesday nights, so I want to encourage you to help get the word out about that. As you know, our schools started back, so be in prayer for them as well. And then we see Game War 2, a youth lock-in. God bless them. God help them. God look after them. Pray for our youth workers for that as they get locked in here with the youth. I did that years ago. I don't have the juice for that anymore. But so I want to encourage you to be in prayer for that ministry as well. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we had some folks working out at Reborn Farm and doing some wonderful things there. And I want to thank the men that came in yesterday. There were seven men, myself and six others. I called them last minute, air conditioning issues next door. So can we praise the Lord for air conditioning in here? Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. And we're working on that. Just for you to know, we've got two giant compressors, and one of them, both of the compressors are blown out on it. And so we're going to have to replace those. Cost is probably going to be $12,000 to $14,000. And we're met with Krause and Crane on that. We're looking into that to get that accomplished. We had put $4,000 worth of Freon in one of those compressors, and it blew a pinhole in it and let it all out. And, you know, how exciting is that? And we didn't bring down South Florida 1 degree with all that Freon. So, you know, letting that out in the atmosphere. But anyway, so we're going to be meeting here until we get that air conditioning straightened out so you don't have to go home moist, anointed. And so we praise the Lord for that. And the opportunity for us to meet wherever we meet and worship Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I want to thank Jim and Rick and all of them for working through this transition so quickly. It's kind of last minute for them. They found out like we kind of did yesterday. And so I just praise the Lord for them and everything they've done. Let's give them a hand. Amen.
Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a beautiful morning that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house in this air-conditioned room. We thank you, dear Lord, as we sang, for your faithfulness and your goodness. And dear Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways, spiritually, physically, and materially. We just ask now that this portion that we can return to you, you will bless it, and may it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you mentioned Sammy being grateful for God's faithfulness for 3 years. Irene Brobst is going to be 95 years old Wednesday, so she's been praising the Lord. Let's give Irene a hand. Praise the Lord. We want to, at this time, release our children for Children's Church with Miss Julia through the side door here. And praise the Lord. We've had a request a couple weeks ago. You know, you observed our anniversary, and they had put together a PowerPoint, and our kids sent some videos, and there's some that weren't able to see it, so there's been a request. So we're going to show that to you real quick, and then I'll get up and share with you.
We love you, and we're proud of you, Bebop.
All right, Gabe, what's one thing you love about Bebop?
I like that you go fishing with me.
Chloe. I like that you go golfing with me.
With you. What do you love about Bebop?
Love.
Love. You love that he loves you. Sissy?
I love how you make me laugh.
We're so proud of you, Bebop. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary!
Hey, Big D, congratulations on 30 years at First Baptist Church of Stewart. What a huge accomplishment that is. To be the head pastor of a church for 30 years. And thinking about your time at First Baptist, and I'm 36 now, so in my entire life, the one example that comes to mind is you witnessing to everyone you come in contact with. It's been amazing to see you witnessing to waitresses and waiters and mechanics and literally everybody you come in contact with. And I know the impact that that's had on my life, and I know the impact that it's had on most of the people at First Baptist. Thank you for setting that example, and I know you'll continue to set that example for people going forward. So congratulations on 30 years. What a big deal that is. Love you.
Say we love you.
Love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to talk to you for the next few weeks about profiles and courage. And today we're going to look at how we can actually strengthen our courage, how we can live courageously for the Lord. And it's interesting that we live in a fearful time, maybe arguably more so than any time in the country except for the bombing of Pearl Harbor in World War II. And there's just a lot of things people fear. So I'd like to share with you a recent top 10 of the things people fear most and see if you register anywhere on here. Number one's death, sharks, apropos for us, spiders, snakes, dark, wasps, vampire bats, being alone, heights, dogs, and honorable mention are snakes in the toilet, rats, zombies, citrus fruit, clowns, jellyfish, and vegetables. So those are some of them. And then we see also the top 10 fears that hold us back in life. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of uncertainty, fear of loneliness, fear of change, fear of loss of freedom, fear of being judged, fear of something bad happening, fear of getting hurt, and fear of not being good enough. And for me, fear of being late to dinner. So there's a lot of different fears that we have in relationship to our life. Now, if you've got your Bible, I'd like for us to look at three areas that we can use to strengthen ourselves, to give us courage, and to overcome fear in our life. The first of those would be we can overcome fear and live courageously by owning up to our sins. If you've got your Bible, in John, 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, the last three verses of the chapter, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. First of all, we see the idea that we're not to deceive ourselves. Now, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our hearts deceive us. One of the things we have to assume for every one of us, no matter how generous you are, no matter how loving you are, no matter however much you reach out to others, that we have a self-centered nature, that we center things around ourselves. What does this mean to me? What is this to me? Years ago, we moved into a new home, and I had to walk our garbage about 100 yards out to the road. And so I was talking to one of our neighbors who lived right there next to the road and had kind of a back area that was covered with a fence and vegetation. And I said, can I leave my garbage can here and just that way I could just bump it to the road and we can drop trash in it when we're coming and going and not have to make this 100-yard walk? And my neighbor said to me, that's not good for me. That's not good for us. And I go, oh, okay, all right. So that was kind of how our neighborship started. Fortunately, it ended much, much better than that. And we were able to love and live and grow closer. But a lot of times we spend our life thinking about what relates to us. And we deceive ourselves. Our heart is deceitful. And then we see also that we are forgiven and cleansed by Christ. And we need to recognize that. In the scriptures, we see in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Probably one of the most unexercised disciplines of the Christian life is confession. Us confessing our sins. And confessing even our faults to one another, and being honest and being transparent about our weaknesses, our failings, our shortcomings, and sharing that with one another. There can be great release in that, in the idea of us confessing to one another and confessing our sins. And that's what he says here. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins. It's interesting those two terms put together, just to forgive. In actuality, justice could mean that He judges us. Justice could mean that he punishes us. But in Scripture, he tells us that it's justice for me to forgive, because that's his nature. His nature is to forgive. And through my own life, and I know through yours as well, through the years, the times that we've been convicted and we've forgiven someone, we've extended forgiveness to them, is the times we've felt release in our life. Years ago, I was watching an evangelist on television, and he was talking about this idea of unforgiveness in our own heart and then how it boomerangs back on us. And he said, it's like there's a bird cage inside of our soul. And this person that we're bitter at, that we hold unforgiveness toward, is inside that cage. And there's a lot of times in our life where we will take the person out of that cage, and emotionally, mentally, in our memories, we'll slap them around a little bit and then stick them back in the cage. And then a little later, we'll think about what they did to us. And to be honest, I had a real estate agent in Memphis, and I've slapped him around a few times out of my cage over my dad's farm. But in fact, I've forgiven him over and over again, and the real forgiveness doesn't occur until we take the cage, we bring it out of our soul and out of our heart, we open it, we forgive the person, we let them go, and we throw the cage away. Can I hear an amen? And until you do that, until you emotionally do that, you're not going to be free from that. And it's interesting, God says over and over again that there's a reciprocal effect in our forgiveness, that when we forgive, we are forgiven. When we give, it's given to us. In our life, there's this reciprocation that occurs, quid pro quo, if you will, with God and with our own spirit and our own soul. And so it's important for us to recognize that for us to have courage, we have to own up to our sins, we have to confess them, and then we're going to be cleansed. And then it says, then his word is in us. In the passage, there's two references in this little short passage to the idea of God's word being in us. In verse 8, it says, if we lie about our sins, if we deny them, the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. And then at the end of verse 10, it says again, like a sandwich around confession, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Who here wants to make God a liar? Who here wants to give that designation to God? And so he says, the truth isn't in us and his word isn't in us unless we're honest and open about our sins and that we openly and honestly confess them. We see this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of God live in you. As many of you know, I read through the one-year Bible. I try to read through it every year. I didn't finish it last year. I got about 2 months behind, and I didn't finish it. And today I'm current. In fact, I read this morning's yesterday to give me a little more time. But the idea is for us to stay in God's word. If you stay in God's word, it will keep you from sin. God's word does that. And so he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. How many of you would like to have a thankful heart? Raise your hands. Well, here's the way to do it. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you and be honest about your sins before God. And then you'll have the ability to instruct others. You'll not only have the ability, you'll have the hunger and the appetite. In the Shantung Revival province in China at the turn of the last century, our Southern Baptist missionaries were there and saw a great move of God right at the point when China was shifting over to become communist. And they saw incredible things. And there were old missionaries there that said they did not have the energy to walk from one village to the next, or even a lot of times to speak several times in their own village they were living in. And they said when this revival occurred and when the Spirit of God fell, they were endued with energy and power. And there was one of the oldest missionaries there, and they said he would walk 20 and 30 miles every day sharing the gospel and people getting saved everywhere. But they said the power of God, the indwelling presence of Christ and his word energized them, gave them energy and strength and courage. Next, we see that by standing up for what's right is another way that we can live courageously. It's interesting, Helen Keller said this, avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. So you may say, I'm going to not say anything. I'm going to stand back. I'm going to be passive. I don't want the resistance. I don't want the conflict. And the fact is, it'll find you as much in that position as the bold who step forward in courage. And so we might as well be bold. We might as well count in this life. We might as well make an impression, make a difference. And to make a difference, we must be different. To make a difference, we must be different. So by standing up for what's right, first of all, if you've got your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. The first we see is we're to be on the alert, we're to be guarded, we're to be circumspect, we're to be looking around our lives and examining the circumstances around us. Kim and I watched a documentary. We can't recommend, the language isn't that good in it. But it's about Manti Te'o, and it's called, the title of it is The Girlfriend Who Never Existed. And Manti Te'o, if any of you remember, was a Heisman Trophy candidate, came in second, received the most votes for a defensive player in modern history in Heisman polling. And it came out in the media, he was actually a Mormon from Hawaii, he was Polynesian, and was one of the greatest defensive players to come out of college that year, and was drafted, well, not drafted, but there were 20, 30 major college programs trying to get him to come and play for him. And he wound up going to Notre Dame, and he went there. Well, it came out in 2011. He started being involved emotionally online with what he thought was this girl that he came to designate as his girlfriend. And it found out that he was being catfished, which is a modern term now for where someone puts up a phony presence online and convinces you that they're a real person. And he literally was a young man of character. One of the best, most character-filled young men. And as Kim and I watched it, our heart went out to him because he was catfished and he believed this was a real girl. This guy actually took pictures of a living girl and stole the pictures from her Facebook and made this my imaginary person. Well, there was even some phone calls where a female voice was included to make him think that he was having a long-distance relationship, and he was sincere in it. And then finally, it came out that the phony guy wanted to end it by saying the woman died. And it is the same day that his grandmother died. And the whole, if you'll remember it, it was 2012 when that happened. The whole nation, ESPN and all the news, surrounded him empathetically. And there was just a tremendous outpouring of love for him, losing his grandmother and his girlfriend. And then it turns out later that the whole thing was a myth, and he didn't know it. And then he became a fool for not knowing it, and became a meme and became insulted, and there was mockery of him. And yet still, he's still in the NFL right now, plays for the Chicago Bears. And to hear the young man, the torture and the agony, he was the runner-up for the Heisman, and out of the 38 first drafts in the 2013 NFL draft, they all passed on him because of this thing that happened in his life. And it cost him millions and millions of dollars, filled him with self-doubt his first 3 years in the NFL, because he was not guarded, because he was not circumspect, because he was not, and his parents, his dad even got bitter at him. Son, how foolish of you to be taken advantage of like this. Cost him millions of dollars. And the Bible tells us that you and I are to be alert. We're to be examining the things around us. And unfortunately, there's so much of that now. I just listed a couple of things on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace. I've sold a bunch of things since we've moved. And I listed a couple of things, and immediately a girl and a guy responded, and they said, they sent the text through Messenger and said, we want to buy these two things. Two texts from each one of them. Send us your phone number or text us. So that itself is a catfishing thing. That's where they want to get your information on your cell phone and capture your cell phone. There's so many of these things. We have to be so guarded now. And I just want to encourage all of you. Anything that anyone sends you and you don't know who they are, don't open it. Delete it immediately, because there's all of this going on. And the Bible tells us you and I are to be alert. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And there's people that want to capture our phones. They want to capture our information. They want to capture our identity. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be guarded about that. And then be faithful. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he says this, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I praise God for the faithfulness. I thank God yesterday in just some quick calls. And some of them, I can be there in 10 minutes. I can be there in 20 minutes. We had six of our men show up here just with immediate last-minute calls to help set this up for today. And I praise the Lord for those faithful men. Our church is filled with faithful men and women, and I thank God for it, that are just willing to do and to serve and to stand and are godly. And this is what he talks about here. We can stand up if we're faithful. If we're faithful. And then he says, be courageous. In Ezekiel 3:18, he gives a warning where he tells us this. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. It's interesting that God holds us accountable for the truth. And you may say, I know what the Bible says. I know the truth that the Bible says, but I'm not going to say that. I don't want to offend anybody. Who am I to judge? We tell ourselves in this world of tolerance. And in actuality, it's a complete oxymoron. It's a misnomer, this idea of tolerance. This tolerance is intolerant. Can I hear an amen? This tolerance is intolerant of biblical truth. This tolerance is intolerance of Christians. This tolerance is intolerance of the truthful history of our nation, founded as a Christian nation by Christian leaders, godly men and women who gave their lives, their honor, their sacred fortunes, everything for us. And we see that you and I will say this and we'll say, well, but that's a contradiction to say, I know the Bible truth says this, but I'm not going to say anything. And we see that we succumb to the pressure. We don't want to be ridiculed. People doubt the reality of right and wrong, and we all fear labels. You got to get over that. We need to die to that. You need to die to the idea of whether someone criticizes you or not. You need to just say, I'm going to be faithful to God, faithful to His Word. I'm going to be courageous and truthful no matter what, come what may. You can be known as much by your enemies as your friends. And if you're on the battlefield, you're going to have enemies. The bullets whizzing by are proof that you're in the conflict, that you're getting close to the reality. We fear labels, being narrow-minded, prejudiced, judgmental, racist, old-fashioned, out of date, bigoted. And through the, I spent an hour one time on a doctor from down in Pompano who called me to talk about racism over an illustration I used spring a year ago. And it was actually an illustration from Sheriff Snyder. And I'm talking to her, and she said, I'm a sister in Christ pastor, and I do love your truth speaking and your broadcast, but this illustration, you referred to these pillowcase bandits as being Haitian, and that's racist. And I said, all I did is quote the sheriff. That's what the sheriff said. And they apprehended those folks, and they were from a Haitian community in Broward County. And I said, that's not... And she said, the Bible never refers to people from their nationality. And I said, well, that's absolutely not true. On the day of Pentecost, it gives 7 to 9 different nations that were represented. And it talks about the Ethiopian eunuch. How do we know he's from Ethiopia? Because the Spirit of God said what nation he was from. But I had to die to that. And at the end, I just said, I appreciate you calling, sister. I really enjoyed the interaction with you. I mean, to be honest, it was kind of awkward and painful for an hour. I mean, it would have been much, oh, I love your broadcast, and I'm grown in Jesus, and thank you for the Word of God. And there was some of that. But, you know, we don't always want to interact and mix it up with people. But we need to, and we need to do it lovingly. At the end, I said, can I pray for you? You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And we ended that conversation that way. But you and I need to stand up. We need to be strong as we stand in this world today and recognize it doesn't matter what they call you. In fact, Jerry Falwell, who's an expert at this, told us at Liberty, it doesn't matter what the media says about you, as long as they spell your name correctly. You know, and we can give you many, many, many illustrations of that. And we see number three, by speaking up for Christ. By speaking up for Christ. In 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who ask you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. And so we see in this passage, we're to speak for Christ, and we must have Him in our hearts. He must be real to us. He must be genuine in our lives. We must have a genuine relationship with Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Let me ask all of you today, if you were to examine your life up to today, how many times have you been in conflict with anybody because of standing for Jesus, because of speaking for Christ? And you might say, you know, when I think about it, I don't think I can remember one. Well, let that be your goal this week, to go ahead and get into it with somebody. in a loving way. And let's put a mark on your gun. Let's go ahead and say, I'm going to speak out to that family member. I'm going to speak out to that neighbor. In fact, Falwell, years ago when I was president of our state pastors conference, and Liberty owed at that time about $40 million in debt. And Jerry got up and he said, talking about critics and everything else, Jerry Falwell, and he said, I finally came to the point of what can they do? Maybe they could kill me, but they can't eat me, you know. And he said, at that point, I just released it all to God, and I trust in Him. And I trust Him. And so we see here the idea of speaking up for Christ. And then we're to speak for Christ, we must prepare a defense. You and I need to prepare an answer. I was going to be a lawyer before I got saved. And I like to make an argument. We're also Irish. There's a reason that the motto, the nickname of Notre Dame is the Fighting Irish. And growing up, we argued a lot. Kim's family were quiet. They were very demure. My family, we'd mix it up, you know. And that was the way we loved each other sometimes, is barking at each other like dogs and going after each other. And then afterwards, hug. And, well, that was a good argument. That was a good one. And that type of thing. But we see that we need to prepare a defense. As we're circumstanced and studying the things around us, work on a defense for all of the things you hold near and dear. Political things, spiritual things, emotional things, family things. Prepare a defense. Defend yourselves. And the beauty of it is we've got the truth on our side. I try to go bottom line, and you've heard me do this many times in the last year, especially since we had that creation seminar. Evolution. We're wincing. We love Jaws Week or Shark Week or whatever, but we wince every time they say, this thing has developed this skill to eat over 100 million years. Oh my gosh. That is ridiculous. It all boils down to one thing on evolution. Everything cannot come from nothing. That's really all you need to know. We could close all the books. Anything past that is superstitious religion. Anything past that. But when we think about an argument and making an argument and constructing an argument, the Bible tells us that we're to speak out and prepare defense, but we must also be gentle and reverent in our approach as we speak out. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose us. If God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, so that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive by him at his will. Now, many of you know, I memorized that verse years ago when I was an electrician working for my dad in Iuka, Mississippi. We were rewiring a bank. The job superintendent's name was Wild Bill. He lived in a camper on the job. He drank a six-pack of beer for lunch, and there's not a word for how rough this guy was. He cussed about everything, and here I am, a relatively new Christian on the job, and I began talking to Wild Bill about Jesus. I began sharing my faith with him, witnessing to him, and finally, he just blew up in my face. He cussed me out every which way, north, south, east, and west, and he just, every kind of profanity I've heard my life. And he said, Daryl, I don't want to hear any more of this blah, 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 blank, blank, blank about Jesus from you. And I walk up to him because that never has really intimidated me. And I walked up to him close and I looked him right in the eye. I said, Bill, you will not hear another word about Jesus from me the rest of the time I'm on this job. I'm going back to college in a month and a half, and you won't hear another word about Jesus from me. But I want you to know something. Every time I'm kneeling, putting a receptacle in the wall, I'm praying for you. Every time you see me on a light installing a fluorescent 2x4 fixture, I'm praying for you. Every time I'm in the panel wiring in the breakers, I'm praying for you. And I want you to know that. And there's nothing you can do about it. And then I walked off. And then I wrote these verses on the index cards, kept them in my pocket. And while I was wiring the rest of that job, I'd whip them out. And I remember, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. When my time was up and I had to go back to Liberty, I'm up in Liberty in the fall, and it comes up, it's approaching Thanksgiving break where I would be coming back home. And my dad calls me, and he didn't call often, but he calls me at Liberty, Daryl. Yeah, Dad, good to hear your voice. Wild Bill's looking for you. I said, Wild Bill's looking for me. He said, yeah, we've got another job. He's the job superintendent. He's looking for you. And he said, Daryl, I think he's got religion. He said, I think he's even a deacon. And I said, I doubt that. The guy's been married a half a dozen times. He's rough as all get out. And I doubt it. But he said, no. He was talking to me at a job the other day. He said, where's Daryl? Well, he's back at college. Would you tell him that I've given my life to Jesus? And the servant of the Lord must not strive. And it doesn't matter how they act. And I want to tell you, in all my years of sharing Jesus, it's better when they get mad. I mean, the best is when they get glad and they give their life to Christ. But next to glad and getting saved is mad. I would much rather they be mad, angry, arguing, interacting with everything you're saying than the apathetic. Oh, I don't care. Everybody goes to heaven. All roads lead to Rome. You know, they're the worst. They're the hardest. The best are getting saved, and next to it is getting mad. Because through the years, I've seen that happen a lot, where they'll get angry, they're arguing, they're coming after you about your defense and your preparation, your truth that you're sharing with them, and then the next thing you know, they're living for Jesus. That's what happened to Josh Mack. You're now evidence that it demands a verdict. That's what happened with Lee Strobel. That's what happened with many of these others that fought Christianity, wanted to disprove the resurrection, and now they're the biggest defenders of Christianity through the years. J.R.R. Tolkien was that way, and on it goes. And so we see that we need to speak, we need to be gentle and reverent and loving as we share Christ. The only way we can do that is through the Spirit of God, the power of God, for God's Spirit to be indwelling us, living through us, speaking through us. And I don't take no for an answer. I've had people, one person on the phone, well, we're not allowed by the company to speak about religion on the phone. I said, well, that's funny, you working for Visa and everything, because through the years I've led 12 of y'all to Christ, and two of them are supervisors. Oh, and so I, okay, go ahead. And then he gave his life to Christ. You mean initially? And if they say, no, I did have a waiter. Was it a waitress or a waiter the other day that said, not now? Waiter is a waiter. He said, I can't right now, but he was very open. So I gave him a gospel tract. I said, when you get your break, go in the break room, read this, and give your life to Christ. And he said, okay. You know. But I just want to encourage you, you got to have the relationship with Christ first. If you don't, you're not going to share him. If you're just here to feel good and worship with us and be around some loving people, that's not enough. You've got to know him personally. And when you do, you want to share him. He's shareable. And you want to tell everybody about him. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And thank you, Lord. We pray you'll endue us with courage in this day. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, not just the ones seated here, but those on Facebook, those on YouTube, those on the radio, that you'll give every one of them the boldness, the courage, and the will to speak out, possibly offend others, but to love others and to speak in a loving way. And Father, we just want to ask you, please, to use us to glorify you in a supernatural way. And I pray for all those that are listening right now, if there be any that really don't have a personal relationship with you, I ask you, Almighty God, to speak to their heart today. Open their heart. And I want to ask you right now, do you know Christ? If not, he tells us to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. Please pray this prayer with me and just say, Dear Lord, I know you see me, you hear me, I know you're present. Please come into my life and forgive my sins and cleanse me. Take control of me and live through me. And thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for dying in my place. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning as he's speaking to your heart. So I want to encourage you to come today as God speaks to your heart. Let's stand together and sing. Please be seated. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at several profiles in courage. We're going to look at Esther, who risked her life for her people. Daniel, who defied a tyrant to worship God. Gideon, who led through his insignificance. Peter, who spoke for God after great, great failure in his life. And Stephen, who gave up his life for the truth. So we're going to be looking at these great portraits in courage and want to encourage you to come and take part in that. Hopefully you'll be encouraged. I want to remind you again about our estate planning in here next Saturday morning. And if you don't have an up-to-date will or a will, I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And come. It's an opportunity for you to meet David. He's from the Florida Baptist Financial Services. He's going to be working with us on our project as well. And so I want to encourage you to come. I'd like to have as much participation as we can next Saturday and just spend a little time thinking about your future, your estate, your finances, and putting those things in order. So I want to encourage you to come 9:00 next Saturday. At this time, we have Amy Pritchett with us, I think. Is she? Yes, Amy. Can you come and stand here with me? Amy is running for the school board and here in Martin County. You're welcome. And she...
Hi, everyone.
You're the Salerno...
Port Salerno, Rocky Point.
Rocky Point. And so, first of all, can you share your testimony with us, Amy?
It's a fairly new one. It happened in February. I started hearing from the Lord, and he told me to be courageous, to speak out. You need to use your voice. So I started using my voice, and I decided to run for the school board because of all the things that were going on that I felt I was sitting on the sidelines. And the voices were with me every day. I was at school board meetings talking to the school board about the different things that happened because of COVID, the fear of our community that divided. And every day he talked to me, every single day. And there were days I didn't want to have the courage, and he just kept pushing me and saying, you have a voice, you have a voice. So I got baptized, and I've given my life to Christ.
Amen.
And I am proud to be one of his children. And I encourage anyone who hears that voice to do something about it.
Amen.
You don't have to sit on the sidelines. I'm 66 years old. So I'll give you my age. You asked before. I didn't want to shout it out. I have two children and twin grandsons that live in other states, and I feel that my time is not wasted for the children they're our future. And our future is a little scary right now.
That's right.
But don't be afraid, because the tide is turning.
Amen.
And it's turning toward the good. And the children will be the ones that lead us if they're taught properly, if they're taught the basics. And that's what I'm about. I'm just about the kids. It's about the kids. Education isn't a business. It's about our children. And we're treating it like a business, and it shouldn't be.
Amy, what are some of your positions like in relationship to the LGBTQ agenda?
I'll be as open and transparent as I can. All children are children of God, but the teachers and administration and staff don't have to talk to children about their personal beliefs. So if your family wants to share that with you, that's up to them, because we don't have a say in that. Individual liberty means you get to say what you want in your space. But when we walk into the school, I say all bets are off. No LGBTQ, no pronouns. The first article of speech a child should not learn is what a pronoun is. Nouns and verbs, okay, but asking young children about their pronouns is leading them to destruction. That's not our business. Our business is our children and teaching them the basics.
Amen.
So I am not for that at all.
What's your position on critical race theory, the idea that...
Whenever you tell people they're oppressors or they're oppressed, you're barking up the wrong tree with me. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. You're a child of God, and you are there to be in His world, not this imaginary place where we have to be told that we're privileged and everybody else is oppressed. Doesn't work that way. We're all children of God. It doesn't matter what our race is, what our ethnicity is. It just doesn't matter to me.
What's your position on abortion?
It's murder.
Okay.
Thou shalt not murder.
Okay. Any doubt about her position on abortion? anything else you want to share with us?
I just want to thank you. I walked in today, and I was met by three men, Gary, David, and Larry, who welcomed me. And Larry is my dad's name, so that meant something to me. David is my husband's name and my brother's name, so I felt like there was something going on.
Very good.
So I just want to thank you for welcoming me into your community, and this is a lovely place to be. I love the worship, and I loved your word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Amy's
going to be available here if you'd like to come by and talk to her. You want to ask them for your vote, for their vote?
What I want to ask you is to vote what you think is important in the school district. I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you what I stand for. And if you stand with me, then you'll vote for me. And if you don't, that's okay too. It's a free country.
Okay. Good, Amy. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you make yourself available here, okay.
Absolutely.
God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
This is Pastor Darrell Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.